Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, October 25th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Let's start with Judges chapter 12. The first section is about Jephthah and Ephraim, and then we get into three more judges. Okay, starting in verse 1. The Ephraimite forces were called out, and they crossed over to Zaphon. They said to Jephthah, "Why did you go out to fight the Ammonites without calling us to go with you? We're going to burn down your house over your head." Jephthah answered, "I and my people were engaged in a great struggle with the Ammonites, and although I called you, you didn't save me out of their hands. When I saw that you wouldn't help, I took my life in my hands and crossed over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave me the victory over them. Now why have you come up today to fight me?" Jephthah then called together the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. The Gileadites struck them down because the Ephraimites had said, "You Gileadites are renegades from Ephraim and Manasseh." The Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan leading to Ephraim, and whenever a survivor of Ephraim said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead asked him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he replied no, they said, "All right, say Shibboleth." If he said Sibboleth, because he could not pronounce the word correctly, they seized him and killed him at the fords of the Jordan. 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. Jephthah led Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah, the Gileadite, died and was buried in the town of Gilead. Now, before we move on, I just want to read this Bible study note. Shibboleth's meaning is uncertain, possibly ear of wheat or current of water. And the Gileadites chose the word not because of any significance inherent to its meaning, because it exposed the inability of the Ephraimites to pronounce it. So honestly, the Gileadites, and I know this can get confusing, were kind of calling out the Ephraimites, who were their brothers. They were one of the tribes of Israel. But they lived on the other side of the Jordan. And so they were saying, "You guys aren't like us. You can't even pronounce the words like you should be able to." And so this just shows an intertribal feud that God has not sanctioned. And it just reminds us of this downward spiral that not only is Israel fighting against those around it, but also it's fighting between tribes in Israel. Okay, moving on, verse 8. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem led Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He gave his daughters away in marriage to those outside his clan. And for his sons, he brought in 30 young women as wives from outside his clan. Ibzan led Israel 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Elon, the Zebulunite, led Israel 10 years. Then Elon died and was buried in Ajalon in the land of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, son of Hillel, from Pirathon, led Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons, who rode on 70 donkeys. He led Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, died and was buried at Pirathon in Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. Now let's move on over to the Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 144 of David. Praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. Lord, what are human beings that you care for them, mere mortals that you think of them? They are like a breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow. Part your heavens, Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Send forth lightning and scatter the enemy. Shoot your arrows and rout them. Reach down your hand from on high. Deliver me and rescue me from the mighty waters, from the hands of foreigners, whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. I will sing a new song to you, my God. On a 10-string lyre, I will make music to you, to the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers his servant David. From the deadly sword, deliver me. Rescue me from the hands of foreigners, whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. Then our sons in their youth will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in our fields. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. There will be no breaching of walls, no going into captivity, no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed is the people of whom this is true. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. And now let's turn over to the Gospel of Matthew, to the story of the Passion of our Lord Jesus, starting in Matthew 26, verse 57, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. Jesus before the Sanhedrin. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priest and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied, "but I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit on his face and struck him with their fist. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you?" Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out of the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I think it's kind of curious that the accent of the people is mentioned in Judges and also here with Peter. Peter is given away by his accent. He is a Galilean. Remember, he's a fisherman from a fishing village, and he had a different accent than the Judeans did when he was speaking Aramaic. And so they believed, wait a minute, this man is not from around here. So he must be with Jesus of Nazareth. What is so scary about this passage is that Peter disowns Jesus right after he so boldly states to Jesus that he will die with him, that he will never disown him. So I think it just reminds us to be humble in our approach to the Lord and so grateful for his forgiving love. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that we read about how you were able to rebuild the temple in 3 days, so to speak, when your resurrected body came out of that tomb. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are the mighty one who will come on the clouds of heaven. And even now you are sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you are interceding on our behalf. And in that regard, we lift up to you those on our list who continue to be at the top. Pray your blessings over them. Pray your healing touch in their lives. We pray for restoration. We pray for repentance. And we thank you, Lord, that though we cannot see the future, you hold the future in your hands. Help us to trust you and to listen for your voice. We thank you, Lord, for making the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf, giving of your blood so that we might have life. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.